Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Many of us have lived a life, all of our lives, looking to sources outside of ourselves to give us an identity, to give us a meaning for a living, to give us a path that we need to walk. We were trained in an environment, indoctrinated in environments of religion and academia, to believe that we had to fit in, to blend in, or else we would be an outcast in society. Society became the norm for God. It became, the culture became more important than the Word of God. But in this hour, in this day of revelation and revolution in the realm of spirit, men and women are beginning to turn away from the systems of this world, and they're looking for answers that are only found in Jesus Christ. And it won't be found in the next big thing that the world can create in technology or the next president. It will not be found in the next your next degree or your next job or your next marriage. It won't be found there. The answers will not be found there. The truth is that all of the answers have been hidden in plain sight. God put them on the inside of us. And we have sought for decades looking for answers outside of ourselves and have come home empty like the prodigal son who spent all of his inheritance while his dad was still alive. He begged him, give me my inheritance. I want it now. I want it now. Give it to me now. And once he received it, he went and he wasted it. And then he remembered, instead of eating with the pigs, the swine of his day, he began to remember what it was like at his father's house. So he came to himself. He came to himself. He got a grip. He gained an understanding. He came to knowledge. Wait a minute. This is not who I am. I'm not to be here with the pigs. I'm not to be here eating with the swine. I have a father. I have someone who has plenty at his table. I have someone who has more than enough to take care of me. And I will humble myself, and I'm going back home to my father. And the Bible says that the father saw him coming at a distance. He looked down the road, and he saw that son who had received his inheritance early coming back home. I suspect that that father knew that that son would one day come back home broke, because parents know their children. And he knew that that little that he gave him was not his inheritance in its entirety, because the father was still alive. He knew that the father's heart was still there. So the son returned, and he found his bed again. He found his footing again at his father's house. How many of you are listening today, and you have been looking for love in all the wrong places? You have been looking for your life's mission in all of the wrong places. You've been looking through the books that have been collected in the library. Well, not so much the library anymore as Amazon or on the internet, looking for resources. You've been Googling destiny, Googling purpose. Yes, talking to your Facebook friends and your Twitter followers, trying to get an understanding, get clarity on who you are and why you're here And what are you going to do with the next decade of your life if God is so gracious and merciful to give it to you as a gift? What are you going to do? Well, today's teaching, we are going in for the home run. In my new book, Our Father's DNA Switched at Birth, to bring even more clarity and revelation to who we really are. It's okay to drift for a moment in search, because drifting is simply a journey on discovery. But there comes a day that you got to be there. You can only travel to your destination, you know, try to find your destination only but for so long until you're just going to park it anywhere because you don't know how to get there. But there comes a moment you have to say, okay, I need directions. I need instructions. I need a better GPS. I need a navigational system that the satellites will not go bottoms, go drop through the bottom or go haywire. I need something that is going to work and work 100% of the time. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the word of God. And we find the more we teach this series, as we come to a close of it over the next week or so, and maybe even today, I don't know. But to teach this series in a way that people can really get a revelation of who they are and stop searching and wasting time. It's wasting so much time on this journey, trying to figure out what it is I am supposed to do and how it is that I'm supposed to get there and have peace in the midst of all of that. We are discovering even more of that in our book, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth, that you can get on Amazon. So I want to talk and speak to you today, minister to you rather, about our Father's DNA. What does it really mean? God's DNA is, you know, just the word DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. I remember studying this, I think 7th, 8th grade, those words first came across the pages. And I saw that and I thought, what a powerful word. I wonder. And then we began to talk about the science of DNA and the strands of DNA and how they all worked and why your eyes are the color they are and how those things work in the body. But when we began to speak of our spiritual DNA, that is so powerful, because that is the core of who we are. It is what makes us see through those green or brown or black or blue eyes. That's the very thing that brings life into these bodies. So it's not the color of the eyes, it's the eyes behind those eyes that make the difference. You may be focused on someone's blue eyes or brown eyes, but that's not who they are. It's those eyes behind the eyes, that light of Christ that is within them. Discovering our Father's DNA is a point of liberation. And I say that because it liberates us really from religion and theology and allows us to embrace Christ, who is resident within us, living in the house, walking in the house, breathing in the house. In Him we live and move and have our being. He's our breath. The truth of the gospel of His word through our Father's DNA begins to come home to us. Just as the prodigal came home, we finally realize that everything we need is in our Father, and that His DNA has found a home, a resident on the inside of us, that He's the Father who never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is the one who is inside and leading, guiding, and directing us through His Holy Spirit. He made His abode in us. Jesus said, "My Father and I will come, and we will move in the house, and we will never leave you nor forsake you." Ladies and gentlemen, that's the better news of the news. That God moves in and He doesn't move out. Hallelujah to the Lamb. He moves in, He doesn't move out, and He's with us always, even to the end of the world. We read in Genesis 3 how the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made, and how he came and seduced them through words. He just seduced the woman, but he seduced the man too, because he did eat it. He did take it on. I don't know why people want to give Adam a get out of jail free card. He was still guilty. If he wasn't guilty, he would not have been punished. He was still guilty of high treason. He was still guilty of disobeying God. He was still guilty of not keeping God's word. God had spoken to them. He had spoken to their genetic coding and said to them, you can have freedom, you have liberty, you have dominion, you have authority to roam and to be. But over here, stay away. I don't want you to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Why? Because God didn't want them to know anything but God. You see, as they were walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they were walking in God. As long as they continued to walk is when you stop and start listening to other words. What they did, they made the mistake of stopping the walk. They stopped the walk when they began to listen to the serpent. They paused too long. They stayed on that pause for too long instead of moving past it as quickly as possible. Some of us are allowing ourselves to listen to the wrong voices for far too long. We listen to them, and then we start meditating upon them, and then they become a part of who we are. Their DNA began to be altered when they received the words of the serpent. And when they received those words, they became one with the serpent and broke their communion with God. They broke their identity line. They broke the genetic coding, and they began to take on the DNA of Satan. And that was not what God wanted them to do. He gave them free will, and we have free will. That's why we can choose to choose Christ. Yes, yes, and yes. We choose to choose Christ. He gave them free will, and so they free-willed it over to listening to other words. It was the words that slew them. They were slayed by the words, right? And so they were seduced, and then they were slayed by those words. Had they continued to walk with God's word, they would have still been walking with God to this day. God did not condemn them. They condemned themselves. Because when they took of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they received the word, I still say the most important piece of this story is that they received the words of the serpent. They received the words. It wouldn't matter if they ate grapes or pears or what. They received the words of the serpent. And when they received the words of the serpent, they became the serpent's children. He spoke the word to them. God spoke the word. And then Satan spoke the word. God did not curse the women. He wasn't putting a curse on the birth canal. He was cursing the works of darkness when he told the woman that he's going to bruise your heel and you're going to bruise his head. She came under condemnation, and they hid themselves from God. Let's read Genesis 3, 20 and 24. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. Now listen, she was already in power. She was already in control. She already had authority and power and dominion. She was the mother of all living things. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And cherubims are angels that were set there with flaming swords to keep them from entering that place where they could live in darkness forever. Whoa, that's the love of God, isn't it? that he separated them from that thing that will cause them to live in darkness forever. And he put a plan of redemption in place so that they would have an opportunity to continue to walk with God, or to come back to walking with God in the cool of the day, walking with God. God never forgets his own. And I know that there are people who listen, and you may feel as though God has forgotten you because you listened to the wrong words. You took upon you the wrong words. But as a born-again child of God, you have God's DNA resident within you. If you don't, then all you have to do is ask him into your heart. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, to forgive you of your sins, and fill you with his precious Holy Spirit, and give you an insatiable appetite for his word. And he will do just that. And God has not forgotten you. And God did not forget Adam and Eve because of what they had done. But he simply put a plan in place. I say simply, not that it was a simple thing for him to do, to put a plan of redemption. But he did that. It was simple for God to do, to put a plan of redemption in place. As we studied genetics and we studied DNA, we know that the strands of the DNA wrap around each other. And there were the facts or traces of the genes, and millions of cells are held within there. The DNA splits and consists of long sequences, and some DNA is not good DNA. It's called junk DNA. And I took a look at that junk DNA. I could see the tree of life as I was going through this study. And I could see the tree of life and how the branches were growing off, and that he's the vine and we are the branches, and that we represent him. We are the image of God in the earth. In the tree of life, the children resemble their parents. We talked about the genetic coding at the beginning of the series, that there's a new genetic coding when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a new DNA that's birthed. In this tree of life, the children resemble their parents, and some genes dominate and some genes do not. There are others who skip a generation, and certain children within the family may get the same diseases that the parents has, while others do not. Have you noticed that? The family tree has many branches. Not all the branches produce fruit. If you have health, mental, or physical, financial, and social blockages, you are more than likely living from within your biology and not your father's DNA, our father's DNA, God's DNA. So today, we'll continue this teaching on our father's DNA, switched at birth, and empower you. Empower you. Hear that word. Empower you to be raised up above the biology or the genetics of your family, your familiarities, your chronological biology, and all of those things that make you the flesh you, the body you, who you are, and help you to see as a born-again child of God that you have access to a greater you that's ready to burst forth from the inside of you. And I'm about to burst forth, but I've got to take a pause here, and I'll be back in a moment.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Health, physical health, mental health, emotional health. Many of these negative energies are tied to generational problems in our families. And while many have studied their ancestry, billions of dollars probably are being made by now to study where we come from. who were our ancestors. And the marketing piece of that is to so you can understand who you are. And I say to you, as a born-again child of God, your genealogy changes. When we looked in the book of Matthew, and if you remember that, in that teaching, you listen to this entire series, there's going to be 20 plus of these messages. But in Matthew, as Matthew was diagramming the tree, okay, he had a genealogical tree, and he was speaking of the begets. And as he went through the begets, it changed when he says, of whom was born Joseph, who was the mother of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. And you see that the begets changed. It changed, and he did not continue. Hey, after he announced the coming of Jesus Christ, he said, oh, that genetic, those generations have now passed away. There's a new gene in town. There's a new genetic coding because now the Son of God has come. And I know there are people who say, well, I don't really believe that that's the truth. Well, you know what? That doesn't change the truth because people don't believe. The truth remains the truth, and it has. For over 2,000 plus years now, we have preached Jesus, not me, but you know, the gospel has been preached, and it will continue to be preached for as long as the earth is. And I believe that it is being preached in heaven because it is good news. Yes, yes, and yes. These negative genes that come through our natural birth canal, they don't have to remain part of our lives as a born-again child of God. Those genes are subject to the genetic coding of our father's DNA. So if you have any health, mental or physical or financial, social blockages, you're most likely connected to that biology. They're passed on from one generation to another. They're the biological begets. The negative things perpetuated from one generation to another until you become a full-blown manifestation of everything your ancestors ever did or said. And to change this, you will know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth would make us free. We must receive the word and the word only as the final authority. My go-to book is the Bible. I read other books as they relate to the Bible. My go-to authority is the Word of God. I've heard people say, well, I'm on a journey and my mentor is this billionaire and my mentor is that millionaire over there. And I said, that's taking down. I don't care who it is. It could be the richest man in the world as your mentor. That's still taking down. Because my mentor is Jesus Christ himself. I want to hear the words of life. I want to hear the words that can change not only my life, but the lives of people around me. The words that will affect nations. The word that has access to everything. Everything. Because men have limitations, but spirit has none. We must receive the word as the final authority. Adam and Eve had heard the word. Adam heard it and he knew what God had said. The woman knew what God had said. But they listened. They both listened to the serpent. They both had heard God and the serpent had heard God. That's why they were having the conversation. Remember in Genesis 3, sometimes I'm going really fast. Remember in Genesis 3, when the sentence opened, the chapter opens with the word now. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. Now, walking in the room, and you know that there is something going on. And he said to the woman, so we walk in the room. Imagine this, you're walking in and there's a conversation going on. Now is not the beginning of a sentence. It really isn't. It is the continuation of something. It lets us know now, the word now, let us know that there is a continuation of something that is already taking place, which I said earlier, they stayed in the presence of the serpent's words too long. You can't afford to listen to the devil all day. It's costly. You can't afford to listen to those words of negativity coming across the news all day. What are you listening to? You're dampening your spirits. You're clouding your judgment. You're moving your place, yourself into a place of fear and anxiety. Those words are powerful. Words are spirit, and they are life. And they can be life unto life, or they can be life unto death. It depends upon the words that you receive. Everything that we see, hear, think, and say becomes a part of us if we meditate upon it too long. That's why it's important to put ourselves in a position that we are meditating on words that breathe life into us. And that is the words of the Word of God. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You see, life and death, blessings and cursings come out of the tongue. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if we're not putting those things which bring life into us, then the opposite is we're putting things that are breathing death, hellacious things, chaos, confusion, poverty, all those things that we say we don't want, but yet we continue to feed our spirit those things by listening to negative things on the media or on social media or having friends that are full of negativity. There are people I dearly, dearly, dearly love. But I cannot spend more than 5 minutes on the phone with them. Why is that? Because they're negative, Judy. They're negative people who always have a problem that they want to dump on somebody. And they're not coming to bring you up. They're coming to pull you in to their darkness. And when you resist it, you resist it with truth. You resist it with word. Either they will receive it or they will get off the phone with you quickly without your having to hang up. And sometimes you just got to run like Joseph. You just got to leave your coat and get out of there because you don't want to spend your time building yourself up in truth, building yourself up in word. And then somebody comes in negativity and want to attack you verbally or say something awful. So, and then you have to work to get that out of your heart. There are negative energies that are passed on from generation to generation. You know of families that, I mean, they're so negative. Everything, just so many negative things happen. It's like they're always in turmoil. They're always in trouble. I don't mean just, you know, because sickness comes in or there's a problem that occurs, but I mean families who actually live in turmoil. There's a generational things that have come in. This message on our Father's DNA will revolutionize your life and the life of those you care about. And pass this on. Let people know. Listen to this teaching. It'll take you out of that fleshly stuff. It'll take you out of that carnality. It'll take you out of that genetic coding. It'll give you new genes, baby. It'll give you new genes. It'll help you walk and talk in some brand new genes. Amen. You are now a manifestation of whatever you have spent your time in. So whatever you thought about, you brought about. Whatever you spent your time, invested your time in, you are now a credit to that, whatever that is. And to change something negative, you've got to pour in the positive. Not only the true positive, and I don't mean positive, positive, just a positive word, but I mean something with substance that's built upon the Word of God. Whenever there's something going on in my life, I ask the Father, show me the Word on it. I want to get in the Bible. I want to see the Word on it. And whatever the Word says is what I will say. The serpent had heard God, back to Genesis 3, the serpent had heard God just like the man and the woman had. He wanted to produce doubt in them. He wanted to produce fear in them, that they were without something, that there was something else they needed to do. And that's what the world is thinking today, is that there's something more than this. There's something that we need. The Bible says in Romans 8 that all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting to see the presence and power of God in the earth again, waiting to see God's goodness manifest in our everyday waking, walking, talking lives. Just as it was when Jesus walked the earth incarnate. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That's what Acts 10 and 38 says. The serpent spoke. He aimed at a target and he hit it. He convinced the woman that she was not as good as she already was. And that's what he's doing today to many people, trying to tell you you're not good enough, trying to tell you you don't qualify. You let your grades in school. See, that's the thing in academics. The grading system, the grades determine your value. This is all wrong. If you're an A student, you're good. If you're a D student, oh, you're not so good. We're going to push you away. If you're a special needs student, let's put you on the shorter bus and put you over here in this special classroom. We have seen this time and time and time again. And children are not looked at as individuals, but as part of a program, as part of a system. Our academic system is all wrong. It is so in need of a revolution. Yes, yes, and yes. So that we can train up a child in the way he or she should go. What is that way? The way of truth. Find out their destiny. Find out why they were born. Find out why God sent them. Like Jeremiah, he says, but I'm a child. He says, say not that I'm a child. You'll go and do what I called you to do. Told Timothy, don't let no one despise you because of your youth. But teach children how to be powerful beings and how to find their true calling. Academics doesn't teach that. We're programmed to get in certain pockets. And that's one good thing about technology today. Before, there were professions that there were only certain professions that people would go into, or, you know, they wouldn't go. There were certain lines of certain majors that you could only have in certain schools. And now, because of technology and because of the shift in society, the shift in culture and the way we think and the way we believe, now people are coming of age and knowing, wait a minute, that's not what I want to do. I can do something else. I can create a profession. I can create a business. I can create an industry that has never existed before, because all of those that have been created were created by somebody. So I can be the next somebody to create something. That's what true academics should be. Find out what the child is here for and then move them in that direction. Put the things in front of them that they need to study and to be strong in that profession. Jesus always knew who his father was. He was never confused about his origin nor his mission. At the age of 12, when his family were on their way back home, they realized after 2 days, I think there was two days, hey, where is Jesus? He was 12 years old. He was missing. So they began to go and they look for him. They search for him and search for him. And when they found him, I think that was after 2 days, they found him. He was in the temple reasoning with the elders, discussing the law. And his mother said, did you know we were looking for you? Mary said, where have you been? She responded like any other mother. And he responded unlike any other son. He said, well, did you not know I would be about my father's business? I've got a DNA journey here. I'm connected not with this zip code. I'm connected not with this world. I am connected from out of this world. The one who made this world has sent me. Did you not know I would be about my father's business? He knew where he came from. He knew his mission, and he refused to compromise. He refused to deviate from the plan of God. He stayed with the plan. Somebody say he stayed with the plan. He stayed with the plan. He didn't move away from it. He stayed with what the Father had told him to do. He stayed on focus. He stayed in his lane, and he completed his assignment. And as you that are so anxious about your roots and where you come from, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that will mute that. Honestly, it will. If you start building a relationship with the Father, you'll find out you're no longer interested in what all those Wilsons did way back when, or all of those McNeils, or all of those Mitchells, or all of those whoever they were did 100 years ago. And when you discover some of that information, you want to put it back where it belonged. I was watching a television show one time. I watched these old black and whites. My niece said, why you watch things in black and white? Well, you know, it seemed to be cleaner. So I was watching this TV show, and these people had discovered that there was someone great in their family. They were so excited. This person had done some wonderful work and saved the village years and years and years ago. But when they actually did the study, the little boy did the study on the ancestor, he found out it was all a lie. It wasn't true that he was a swindler. He hurt people. They wanted to bury that history. Sometimes you go dig up those bones, you want to bury them in a different cemetery because you don't even want them in the same cemetery with the rest of your family. So sometimes you've got to leave those old bones alone and find out who you are in Christ Jesus. The questions that you have about your identity are found in the Word of God. If you will receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were created in the image of God anyway. So receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you no longer feel like you're missing an answer, because you'll find that the answers are in plain sight. They're inside of you. Look in the mirror and you start looking like who you come from. Him. Now as you, your genetics and your ancestry, you start looking like your mom, or you start looking like your dad. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you start looking like him. You start being like him. You start speaking this language that we speak, you know, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses, because heaven has a different language. And you're speaking those things that God speaks, and the God kind of faith will be activated in your life when you receive him as your Lord and Savior. If you look at your own genetics, you will see those resemblances. But if you look through the eyes of faith, you will begin to see that you look just like your Father God, and you have been basking in his DNA. More on this powerful message as I continue this teaching in the series, Our Father's DNA, Switched at Birth, a copy of which you can get at Amazon today. I'll be back in a moment. God bless you.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
God has brought us to a place today to confront our old DNA and to realize that we have been living a life modeled after someone else. We've received all the things that they had in their lives, and we start operating from that place, never discovering our own identity. I remember a lady sharing this. It's not my story, but it's someone's story, but it's a good one. And she shared how she was out eating a hamburger with someone. And then suddenly she realized that hamburger that she was eating was not her hamburger. That was her mother's hamburger, because that's the way her mother made them. So therefore, that's the way she learned to like hamburgers. She didn't know what her true self really liked. How many of you are eating your mother's hamburger? How many of you are living from a place that someone else passed on to you, and you never discovered how you are, discovered yourself, your own identity, and the things that make you who you uniquely are. You have your own fingerprint, your own name, your own social security number in this country. You have your own ID badge. You have your own. So what is it that make you unique? What is it that gives you your own identity? And whatever that is the true self of yourself that's waiting to break open and discover our Father's DNA so that you can arise out of the sticky places that you have been for most of your life now. Most of your life, decades have been spent like the hamster on the wheel going nowhere fast. And you are extremely exhausted emotionally, mentally, psychologically. You are drained. But yet you continue to put on that suit, sir. You continue to put on that business attire, lady. And you're going out there to face your day. Yet you're feeling a void, emptiness on the inside of yourself because you become part of the matrix. You become part of them. And you don't know how to unplug. You're so afraid of unplugging because if you unplug, you're afraid that you'll fail. But the truth is, you won't fall. You won't fail. You'll just learn how to walk all over again. But the walk that you will take will not be on a path that someone else has made. You'll be on a path that has been uniquely designed by you, by God, for you. You'll be on a path and understand that you are a child of God and you have been groomed for greatness all by yourself, to yourself, and that you can really do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you may be listening and now you're 40, 50, 60, maybe even 80 years old and you're saying, but it's too late for me. I've missed the time. No, you haven't. It's not too late for you to awaken to your destiny, your purpose, your fulfillment. God can do more in 3 years than you could have done in 30 alone. You can see that. That's obvious. Like the disciples who toiled all night fishing. And when Jesus said, hey, give me a fish, give me some food, I'm hungry. They said, Master, we've toiled all night and we caught nothing. Our boat, our net is still empty. And Jesus spoke one word and changed the dynamics of the situation. Jesus said, let down your net on the other side. And when they heard the word, they received the word, they performed the word, and the word worked. And they let down their net, and the net began to break, and another boat that was fishing had to come up alongside of them and help them pull in the catch because Jesus spoke the word. The word of God can change the dynamics of your life in a moment. One word from God will change your darkness into light, will make whatever it is that's troubling you become minuscule. It becomes so nothing that you forget it was ever there. One word from God can cause cancer or AIDS or heart disease or whatever it is that the diagnosis has stated, the prophecy that came from the medical community has stated over your life. One word from God can turn that thing around and command cancer to dry up and wither up at the root. Command whatever diagnosis that you're holding close like a baby and nursing it with medicine. He can make that dissolve today. Today, ladies and gentlemen, this is our Father's DNA. This is not your mama's stuff. This is not your daddy's stuff. This is your Father's DNA. Our Father who created the heavens and the earth and said, let there be light. And there was. The one who spoke worlds into existence is here today and ready to deliver, to heal, to set you free, whoever you are, wherever you are. He can do it for you right now. And he hasn't changed his mind about you. Maybe you haven't been in the word and you haven't been in the word and you haven't prayed and you haven't spent time fellowshipping with him. He has not changed his mind about you. Maybe you haven't been talking to him, but he's been waiting on you. Yes, even while you were in the back, in the booth, in the corner, in the dark, even when you were stooping low, yeah, he was there waiting for you to simply turn around. The word is real. It's alive. the Word became flesh. St. John 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. When the Word is real in your life, a living, breathing person, it becomes who you are. I said it became part of who you are, but it really becomes you. It becomes you. The Word of God becomes you. It becomes what you think all day long. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. It will come up in conversations when you have allowed it to penetrate, to become a part of who you are. Instead of listening to the serpent in the tree, we have learned to listen to the voice of God within us. He's in the house. He's right in the house. Our traditions, the way we think, the culture, our society, academics, religion takes us away from God. Not intentionally by people, of course, but it's a satanic force. It's a dark spirit that's roaming the earth, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resists how steadfast in the faith. We resist him through the faith. How do we have that faith? The faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we begin to hear his word coming back through us as we begin to speak it. It'll come up in situations and circumstances, not following into genetic coding or traditions. He's more interested in us than in our traditions and our cultures. I remember as I traveled to Africa on one occasion, the people were teaching me their culture and their traditions. And much of the culture and traditions in one sector of that society, in that unreached people society in some parts, the culture became king. The societal norms was king. And how many of us have adopted those ways of our culture and society, and they have become our king and our Lord? And I brought a message in that region to that particular people to tell them the culture is not God. God is God. That anything that's worth having, worth being alive, has come from God. And that which brings people into bondage and hurts people is not of God. He's more interested in us than our traditions. The Bible says that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Whenever you're going through the fires of life and trials, remember that you have a new genetic coding. And if you're not born again, you still have access. All you have to do is to be born again. Be born again, and you have complete access to all that heaven has. I'm thinking about this as I am teaching this to you today, realizing the power of the presence of God, that his presence within and upon our lives tells us that his DNA is activated. That we now have access to all that heaven is, and we no longer have to be the hamster on the wheel, wearing ourselves out, aging before our times. The birth certificate says you should be 35, but health-wise, you're 95. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to change our focus and put our eyes upon Jesus. Allow him to manifest his healing power in your life as you partake of his DNA. And just as Moses' serpent swallowed up Pharaoh's serpent, God's DNA swallows up every disease and every ailment and all the troubles that have come knocking at your door. God's DNA representing the blood of the Father. Woo! They do a blood test. They found out God is your Father. He swallows up all of the stuff that has come to kill, to steal, to destroy. And he makes you rise above it. And you won't be able to explain to people how you got out of it or how God healed you of cancer or that disease or heart attack and how you got up out of the hospital bed and went home. You won't be able to explain it to people. All you can tell them is that God did it. God did it. The miracles continue to happen around the world. And he wants to do a miracle in your life, my friend. You don't have to live with that. Jesus is the answer. I was thinking of this, and you can think whatever you want to about it. You have that right. But I was thinking of this, and I thought, you know, there's so many good herbs and supplements and alternative medicine. I said, but with Jesus, you don't even need an alternative. When you hear his voice, he will tell you what to do. He will tell you, don't eat that. There's poison on your plate. Don't drink that. Pray over this. Pray over that. And that's for you. Because everything, the Bible says, is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. That doesn't mean we just go willy-nilly and just do whatever we want to do and put whatever we want to in our bodies. It doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is that we all have access to the same Jesus. We all have access to the same power. That is a universal truth. Because not everybody can get the herbs. Not everybody can get to an organic food source. Not everybody can grow that in their backyard. Not everybody can have access to what you have access to. So you can't say that if they don't have access to it, then they're not doing the right thing. No, the right thing is righteousness. It's the word of God. Everyone can have access to the word of God. Thank God for technology. I believe the sole source for technology is to get the gospel out. That other stuff just kind of comes along with it. But the sole source of technology is to reach the unreachable. To teach those people who cannot get to local churches, to be able to teach them. This program today is sponsored by this great network because they love God and they want to get the gospel out around the world. And those of you who choose to support, we appreciate that. But this gospel must be preached and lives radically changed so that somebody who's thinking about taking their lives can say, wait a minute, I'm important. I heard that lady on that network and she said, I'm important, that I'm worth something, that I'm worth saving, that I don't have to take my life because Jesus' life was given for me. His life was given for my life. And I understand now that I am loved and I'm valuable and I have significance in this here world and that he's raising me up to be someone that he can breathe through, use for this world. When the children of Israel were out in the wilderness, and Moses held up the serpent, and those that looked upon the serpent that were sick, they were made well. It is time to allow the DNA of the one who is everything take over our lives. He wants to take over you. How about a father take over? Take over. And I hear people say this all the time, and I just cringe because they say, well, God gave you common sense, but it's not good sense if it's not God sense. Because the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Someone ridiculed me when I said, well, I'm going to see what God wants me to do about this or that. And they thought, well, you don't have to ask God what to wear, what to drink, what to do, what to do. I said, yes, maybe you don't, but I do. I'm going to ask him. Why? Because I want him participating 100% in my life. I don't want an on-call God. Like, I'll call you if I need you today. No, that's not a relationship. If you're in a relationship and you're just saying to that other person, well, I'll let you know if I need you. I'll call you if I think about you. I'll get around to talking to you sometime in the future. I'll get back with you. That's not a relationship. It's not. It's not even a good fellowship. Father wants to be intimate with us. After all, as his children, we're carrying his blood, his design, his image. It's time to allow him to take over, to relax, and to begin this new journey in the activation of our Father's DNA. It's easy to activate it. Allow the very presence of God to permeate every fiber of our being and penetrate every cell in our bodies, to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and immersed into the fire of God, because he is the consuming fire. Let God consume every part of your life, and his DNA will manifest as your DNA. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word that causes us to step out of where we thought we needed to be into where you want us to be. Nothing matters but achieving our true purpose in you. Help us to know what we're here for, so that we can go about doing what Jesus did at 12 years of age, our Father's business. Help us to forget those things which are behind and reach forward unto those things which are before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for hungry hearts and open minds to receive your word, and that our prayer will be to dig a little deeper in your word, rise higher, because this is our finest hour. May we shine with your light, be illuminated and be bright and brilliant all over the world, everywhere we go, even where our voice may go, that we may truly be a reflection of you, whether on the air, off the air, we are still Christ manifested. We've come to this place because you have assigned us here. We've been guided here to hear this word, to activate your DNA. There's no other reason for us to be here on this planet than that it's been sanctioned by you, Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. That in everything that we say and do, that you are glorified, and we thank you for it, and we have a heart of gratitude that this is our attitude. So that you can take us to altitude, so that we can be in a position that we can be a blessing to multitudes. Where we were yesterday doesn't matter. It's where we are today and whose we are today, that you will manifest your goodness and glory in us continuously. You refreshed us again with your word. You've revolutionized our life. Thank you for restoration, redemption, and reconciliation through your righteousness. I ask that you would empower us to walk this word out and let the word walk out in us. May we experience the fullness of your DNA activated in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm so glad you came to church today to be a part of this ministry, to be hearers of the word and doers of the word of God. I encourage you to read your Bible every day, to pray simple prayers. Don't have to be long and elaborate. But learn to pray simple prayers and be thankful in such a way. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the water. Thank you for the grass that grows. Thank you for the food on the table. It may not be organic or whole food, but it is food. Pray for it and it makes it whole. Yeah, that makes it good food when you put prayer on it. I believe that God is waking us up to take on a whole new journey in this hour. And you're part of that. All of you who listen, you're part of that. Write me, share your testimony with me at support@drfaye.com, support@drfaye.com. And don't forget, listen to the encore on America Out Loud at americaoutloud.com/Dr. Faye. Share it alike. Be an evangelist by sharing this on social media. God bless you. This is Dr. Faye. Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to read the description in the show page so that you can get the information to join us every Wednesday for our prayer time in the conference room. God bless you. I'm Dr. Faye. Have a blessed day.